Okay, you're on.
Good morning and welcome to the County Council for January 12th, 2021. First thing to approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Good morning, members of council. Good morning, Mr. President. At this time, I have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Okay, motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We have the minutes of January 5th. Any questions, corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they will stand approved. Reading correspondent, Mr. Moore, I think I gave you one.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This letter is from the Bridgeville Volunteer Fire Company, Inc. It is addressed to you as president, dated December 29th. I wish to convey the exemplary service we received from Sussex County Emergency Communications employees. On September 3rd, 2020, Bridgeville Volunteer Fire Company was hit by lightning storm and took a direct hit. This lightning strike disabled all systems at the station, including but not limited to phones, radio base, and repeater. We had no communications with any agency. We contacted Joe Thomas at the dispatch center, and he immediately contacted Chip Larson, Paul Smack, and Jim Bowden. They responded to the firehouse and quickly started work on all systems. Paul actually built a repeater for communications so fire company members would have information on dispatches to stay abreast of emergencies in the district. Jim Bowden brought a phone and was able to temporarily set up a line to the dispatch center as well as an outside line. The quick and professional response of all parties involved put us back in service and allowed us to maintain protection to the residents and their property of Bridgeville. These gentlemen provided much needed repairs in our time of need and performed their jobs in an outstanding manner and wanted you to be informed of their service. Respectfully, John Cannon, Chief, Bridgeville Volunteer Fire Company. And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Public comment. Anybody in the chamber make public comment? Operator, would you check online to see if anybody wants to make public comment?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, please dial 5-star. Anyone who joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, please dial 5-star. We have Janet Actor online. Caller, your line is now open. Please state your name and address before making your comment.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Actor at 37225 Tranquil Cove, Selbyville, Delaware. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm speaking to you this morning, the elected representatives of the five districts of the county. My concern is about the events which will happen in Dover, the state capital, next Tuesday, marking the inauguration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as President and Vice President of the United States. You are the elected political and cultural leaders of the county. Therefore, I am now imploring you to use whatever influence you hold and by your public statements to discourage and prevent individuals or groups from transforming peaceful demonstration in Dover into mayhem, rioting, and bloodshed like that which happened at our national capital last Wednesday. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Our next caller is Paul Rager. Caller, your line is now open. Please state your name and address for the record before making your comment.
Paul, my name is 171, Georgetown, Georgetown. What I'm calling about is I see that on the agenda already is the Board of Adjustment appointment. I don't know whether that's just a discussion today. We're going through the process. I We hope that we're not going to nominate or appoint somebody today. Fast and harsh. Also, too, is I don't know if it has any merit or bearing, but as we're always told, it's a semi-quasi-judicial board, which on December 10th, there was a Supreme Court opinion concerning, I guess, something with the judges concerning major party, minor party for judges in the state of Delaware. All council members should read it to see if they disagree with it, because it seems to be contained to exactly what we've been speaking about, the appointment of pardon. And if the Board of Adjustment is more judicial, you should follow that if you draw partisan and come up with it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. President, can I make a quick
question? Riley.
I don't know if Paul Rieger is still on the line or not, or listening online, but I just wanted to thank him for pointing out, you know, we had information that was evidently incorrect as far as the party breakdown of the members of the Board of Adjustment. And hat tip to Cindy Green for due diligence and making sure that we were doing what was right. We'll be discussing our nominee. I'll be offering a nominee here shortly. But, you know, that's the value of public input right there. And so, Paul, I just wanted a hat tip. Thank you for bringing it into focus for us and, you know, bring our attention to it. And to Mrs. Actor, if just really quickly, you know, I absolutely want to go on record and say that any gatherings in Dover on the 20th, you know, on the day of the president's swearing in should be peaceful. People should not bring weapons or anything that could cause disturbance, and we absolutely do not want to see a repeat of anything like last week in Washington. So we, at least I do, wholeheartedly support your sentiments.
Anyone else online?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comments, please dial 5-star. If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, please dial 5-star. At this time, we have no one who wishes to speak.
Thank you. We'll close the public comment. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to come to the podium to discuss the next item of business, which is a discussion related to meetings held at Delaware Tech. I did put together a quick PowerPoint to help us in this conversation. So let me pull that. All right. So there's been discussion about what to do related to the ability to meet in this room, the council chambers, for land use hearings that have the potential to draw a larger crowd, given the nature of those applications. As you know, we are under restrictions in this building and in this room for the amount of people that are able to participate in any of our meetings, whether it be county council, planning, zoning, or board of adjustment. So given the nature that this was not going to change, we decided to take a look at venues that could potentially hold our public meetings in and around Sussex County, but in particular, hoping to stay in Georgetown. And let me start by saying we wouldn't be here. Let me state the obvious. We wouldn't be here but for COVID. But because of this and because of the nature of where we are with the restrictions that have been placed on our public meetings, we've had to really adapt to an idea of moving our public hearings to a new venue, and that venue is Delaware Tech.
So I'd like to explain to you the thought process behind how we got to this point, and then also explain the steps that will be taken for these meetings. In thinking about whether or not to have a meeting outside of this chambers, and that is something that rarely happens. In fact, hardly ever happens where the county moves its business, especially the business of public hearings where votes are taken outside of this building. So this is something that we had to think about while we address the needs of holding these meetings outside of this building. And all of this is done under the state of emergency that we're operating under that has been given to us by the governor. So because we were limited in our capacity in this room of how many people could come by those state of emergencies, there are select applications, land use applications, that would generally be heard by planning, zoning, and county council. They've been put on hold until we could come up with one, hoping the restrictions would be lifted, and that doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon, or two, find a new venue to hold public hearings in a manner that suits the requirements that the governor has given us, as well as allows the public and the applicants access to the materials and the technology needed to hold these public hearings. Balancing the idea that we want to keep business moving, we want to keep development going, we want to keep these land use applications moving. Something we've prided ourselves in the last several years is seeing how many applications have been able to move through the pipeline here in Sussex County without delays. And we're busier than we've ever been. Back when we were this busy in the height of the market 10 plus years ago, there was a 2-year delay. Right now, before COVID, we were getting applications through in under 6 months. So now we have to address the backlog that we have. And you know that there's applications that aren't controversial or don't draw attention or aren't complex that we continue to see on a Thursday and Tuesday basis that you guys are moving through the pipeline as well. So these are the ones that have been set aside and are on hold until we have all of our planning done and a new venue that's been approved. One of the challenges in all this is we're planning for the unknown. So we think we have to find a venue to hold as many people as we can because we don't know if that place will be filled by the people coming out that are interested in these applications. But they may not come at all. They may end up logging on and watching the live stream or calling in via the telephone. But we can't plan like that. We have to plan for the worst case scenario, which is as many people as possible would show up and want to be in that building. So that's why we picked the venue that we did, because we believe Del Tech offers us the largest capacity for crowds that we have in Sussex County with all other factors involved. Now, what we're talking about is approximately 15 to 20 applications. Now, I want to be clear, some applications have multiple requests. A change of zone of conditional use, an RPC, would be one application, but you're going to vote eventually on all of those in a group, and that's one application for one land use request. That is approximately 15 to 20. We're only talking about change of zone conditional uses and subdivisions. Obviously, subdivisions are heard by Planning Zoning Commission only. And we have to address the limitations that this room offers. In fact, we're only allowed about 30 people, depending on if a single person comes or if a pod comes. We're only allowed to have about 30 people in this room. And then our overflow is the lobby, which is not ideal. It's closed. And then beyond that, we don't really have an overflow plan. In one instance where we had a heightened level of attention to one hearing back in 2020, folks had to stay out on the sidewalk and wait their turn to come in to hear their application. So something we want to avoid. Okay, so our approach to this is making sure that we follow the governor's restrictions when we're looking for an alternate venue. The two guiding restrictions are the fact that there's a spatial requirement, 6 feet and 13 feet for sitting or having a face mask on, and then the room capacity of how many people can actually be in a room. As I said before, we're under 30 for this room. So looking for a venue here for us to have an alternate site, we wanted somewhere that could be large enough to hold as big of a crowd as we could anticipate. You would have to have the IT infrastructure that we need to hold these meetings. That includes the equipment like the TVs, the computer screens, the AV, and the video that are live streaming these meetings. And then behind the scenes, you need to have the internet capacity to be able to live stream this broadcast, the internet speed to live stream this. Not all venues have all of that, as you can imagine. And we need a room designated for a meeting. You don't want to sit in a three-hour meeting in a gymnasium on bleachered seats, I don't believe. So we needed to find a place that was designed to have meetings, and then a convenient location, of course. Given all that, we still will have to take equipment to Delaware Tech to be able to do what we normally do with our live stream broadcast, so that the public can participate almost exactly the way that they do right now in this room. So we've been working with our partners at Delaware Tech. I want to send a very appreciative thank you to Bobby Behrens and Chris Moody and their team. We've been over there several times, and we've met and had conferences with them to set this up, and they've been extremely flexible in our needs and accommodating. Delaware Tech's basically closed right now. No students there. They're all learning virtually. The only students that are coming in is if they need to be in a lab to work with equipment in the lab. The Owens campus is a big campus, but we're going to be in the Carter Partnership Center. Most people are familiar with that building. If you've ever attended the Today and Tomorrow conference, that's the Carter Partnership Center. And within that building, there's a large conference room called Room 540 that when you move the dividers, it's a very large room, and that's what they do with the Today and Tomorrow conference. We're going to set the room up like for a hearing. So there'll be an elevated platform on the front of the room where you will sit and staff will sit, and then you will be spatially moved around so that you are 13 feet apart. You won't have to wear the mask if the 13-foot rule is still in place. And audiences and speakers won't have to wear a mask because we have enough room to spread out and do that. We believe we can get at minimum 70 people. If they're singles or if they're pods, we can come in and get more than 70 people in that room. So nearly double, more than double, what we could get in this room. The great part about Dell Tech is, though, they have classrooms all around these classrooms, including a large lecture hall, where overflow seating could also be used. So they'll be in the building watching the proceedings in the big room via live stream in another room, if we ever even get to that point. I don't know that we'll have 70 people attend, but if we do and they show up, we'll be ready for them. So this is a campus map of Delaware Tech in Georgetown. The big red star in the corner with the arrow, that's the Carter Partnership Building. That's where we will hold our meetings. There'll be a sign out on the sidewalk for people to know which door to go into. We will have health and security screenings in place, which I'll discuss in a minute. And for those familiar with the room, this was a picture taken yesterday, a very large classroom. The wall dividers are removed so we could spread out. And then Delaware Tech staff has come up with a seating arrangement plan where people are 13 and 6 feet apart, and that's how we've come up with the number. This will be a little bit flexible, but there will be assigned seating depending on if you attend and come in pods, which if you come with a family member, you're allowed to sit next to each other, and obviously you can remove your mask when you're sitting with your family member and you're following the spatial requirements. So let's talk about the hearings that we are discussing. These are land use hearings only. We're not going to conduct regular county business at Delaware Tech. So things that you would normally see here in the chambers, like engineering, finance, community development, any of those topics from any of those departments, this is just a strict land use application hearing. So when we gavel in at 10 o'clock and do the pro forma openings, we will move right into the public hearing process. Obviously, the same would be for planning and zoning. They only do land use hearings. We're talking about several dates that span from now until June. The first meeting is next Thursday, the 21st, with Planning and Zoning Commission. And we're basically running through the applications in sequence. For the ones that have waited the longest or at the back of the line or the front of the line, depending on how you look at it, and moving our way forward. We can get through those applications, we believe, by June, and that's a very aggressive schedule. considering the fact that we need to have maybe one, maybe two applications in one of these meetings, because some of these could take hours. So if you're sitting through multiple hours worth of hearings in one setting, it does get somewhat laborious and tedious. But that's the thought process. We've asked the Planning and Zoning Commission their thoughts. They would agree to meet on Thursday afternoon at 3, give them a little bit more time so that they're not there until midnight. We would offer them a chance to recess and take a break in the middle of the meeting. We'll offer the same to you as well, to stretch, maybe get some food, even give the audience a break, and then come back and keep going. We don't really know. We can't predict how long these hearings are going to take, so we're predicting or planning for multiple hours worth of work that will be done. I said security and health screening will be required for the public that attends, so you'll come through the door just like you would here. You'd be screened, temperature taken, and then told where to sit or made sure that you sit so that you follow the spatial requirements. The live streaming broadcast on the county website will still take place, along with the telephone call-in number. That's required to make sure that we comply with the governor's restrictions. So we have to have that. And then one key point to this is the participants in whatever hearing we're talking about really need to pay close attention to the meeting agenda. The times, the requirements, the restrictions, they're going to be on the agenda. Any of this is subject to change. So if you are interested in a particular application and you get a postcard that says there's a land use application coming in a property next to you, if you want to participate, here's how. Please pay close attention to that information, because this will be different than what you see here on a normal Tuesday or Thursday. The other thing that we can keep in mind is if this doesn't work, if people don't show up, if everyone logs on and just comes virtually to these meetings, then we may entertain the idea of coming back here and having people knowing that they want to participate virtually. We don't have to go out there. So that's one thing that may change. The inverse of that, of course, is if we have too much interest and we can't handle the public desire to be there, we'll have to pivot as well. And then last thing I would say is all of these things that we've talked about are up to you. If you think that you've heard anything that you disagree with, staff has worked over the last few months putting this together. We're ready to go. But if there's things that we want to tweak, the only thing we have to do is make sure that we balance the need to keep moving with the public's interest in these applications and meeting the governor's restrictions that he has put in place. I did fail to mention, we have talked to all the applicants, attorneys, engineers, consultants that are waiting, and they have all agreed. If they've gotten on the schedule, they have agreed to participate in these meetings in a manner in which we've described. So they're willing to go to Dell Tech. They're willing to participate with the computers and the system as we think it will be laid out. So they're willing to go. Not everyone was ready, believe it or not, even though they've been waiting for a while. They still have some work to do. But the ones that were ready and agreed to participate at Dell Tech have been scheduled. Okay. I think that is, yes. I will pause there if you have any questions.
Mr. Hudson?
Was there anyone, any developer or person, any application that didn't want to go to Dell Tech? Or any objection at all?
No objection to moving venues, no.
Okay.
Quite the contrary, more impetus to try to get us to get moving. However, not everyone was ready because they didn't have DLDOT or state agency information they needed for the public hearing. So even though they've been set aside and they're waiting to be heard, they're not ready.
And have we had to have a substantial layout of money to get up to standards with live streaming and stuff like that?
Substantial, no. Some, yes. We had to buy equipment, IT equipment. Mr.
Yes.
Kilgo has acquired IT equipment that we need out there. The good news is it's the same equipment that we use in this building, so it's a spare.
Good deal. Okay.
And what we didn't want to do is tear all of this out, take it to Dell Tech, and then try to bring it back. Because we are going to be meeting on regular Tuesdays and Thursdays here when we're not out there. So all of this equipment needed to stay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. More questions?
I do.
Rana?
And this may not be a question so much as I want to emphasize, some people may be wondering why we're going to such efforts. And it's, to some extent, it's a question of equity and, you know, philosophical question of, you know, you're coming to the government as a landowner requesting permission to do something with your own property, and to be denied for a period of a year, who knows, 2 years. At some point, there's a question of equity and fairness. And so I think it's right that we make every effort to accommodate and do what we can to, you know, recognize the interests of the people that are coming and requesting, you know, our permission, in essence, to do what they would like to do with their own property. So I think this is a, you know, I applaud your efforts here, and I'm in favor of it. I will note that we've had some comments from the public that there's still a level of reticence about coming out to meetings, particularly people that live out of state that would have to travel, and so, you know, finding the balance there is tricky. But I, you know, really appreciate your efforts in trying to make this work.
Certainly.
Questions?
No.
Okay. Next.
Okay. Thank you. We will, first meeting is January 21st, Thursday at 3 p.m. Mr. Whitehouse has his team ready to go, and the commissioners. I want to thank the commissioners also for their willingness to put in the effort to get through this. They agreed to come in early and stay as long as it takes, and that's what they're going to do. Mr. President, I'll stay here if you don't mind and run through the agenda. Next item of business is the Board of Adjustment appointment. As everyone knows, we do have a vacancy now in District 5, and I believe it is Councilman Riley's intent to announce a nomination today. Mr. Riley.
So, yes, I do have a nominee I'd like to recommend to you. And again, hat tip to Paul Reeder and to Cindy for making sure we have a balance. So I was able to find John Hastings, who actually goes by, his middle name is Travis, so he goes by Travis Hastings, and Travis is a farmer over in the Laurel area. He's a busy man, but, you know, with conversations with him, I emphasize that, you know, he can expect 24 meetings a year, you know, two Mondays a month, and so he was understanding of that and willing to take on that challenge, and I think he's in the 40-year-old range, something like that, and been a family farmer, I guess, ever since he got out of college, graduated University of Delaware. I think you either have his application or you will have it shortly, and he will be here at our next meeting to give you the opportunity to ask questions and so forth, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. So. For our new members, the way this works, we do have an online application which Mr. Hastings will fill out and provide to us. I'll circulate to the five of you so you have it before the meeting. We'll schedule the interview. It's a public interview right here on January 26, Tuesday, where he will be asked a series of questions, and then at the conclusion you will choose to either vote for confirmation or otherwise, and then we'll move on. We did thank you because there has been such attention paid to the party affiliation. We called the Board of Elections to make sure that we had the accurate information, and we did. So if Mr. Hastings is confirmed, the five membership affiliation will meet the Delaware Code. So we will be accurate. Okay.
Mr. President, just
yes,
out
sir.
Of curiosity, what is Mr. Hastings' party affiliation?
He is a registered Democrat. Yes. So
that would be 3-1-1.
You are correct. 3 Republican, 1 unaffiliated, and if Mr. Hastings is approved, 1 Democrat. That's not right.
So
I continue to get
Democrats.
That. 2 Democrats.
Yeah. So
3 Republicans. Okay. Yes.
I think Ellen had switched to independent.
Yes.
Said no party. That's the same.
Yeah, or no party affiliation. No party.
Correct. Correct. Any question? We got that right. Okay. Any other questions about that? So we will have the interview on January 26th, and I will circulate his application to the five of you. Next item is the administrator's report for January 12, 2021. Item one, Sussex County Engineering Department will be conducting a referendum at Grace United Methodist Church, Millsboro, Delaware, on Friday, January 22nd, from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. Purpose of the referendum is to establish the Blackwater Village area of the Sussex County Unified Sewer District. Item two, a reminder, council will not meet next Tuesday, January 19th. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be January 26th at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Medlars.
I'm bringing Mr. Brady with me for a couple of reasons. But first, let me start with good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, council members. Good
morning, sir.
And let me start with one other thing. We, Mr. Brady and I, drafted this particular memorandum before Mr. Riley was elected vice president.
Well, I got to tell you, I thought it was pretty good at technical reading as a financial advisor. And then I met you.
So, thank you, Councilman. But first of all, my apologies. We did not edit the addressees to include your new title. So that's a start. Secondly, this will be Mr. Brady's last appearance before County Council after many, many years of
25
great,
years.
Great. Now I wasn't going to say it. I was going to say great county duty. So. And for a couple of reasons, 2017, over 2 years ago, Mr. Brady and I collaborated in the code changes because the complaints you see today with regards to drainage stem from the code which was drafted in the 70s and the 80s. So we took it on ourselves, and you minus the left wing on my side, approved the changes in 2017. We came back in 2019 fall and said, council, please consider this list of subdivisions for two reasons. There's either no activity for a long time, or we believe there are issues which rise to the level of immediate attention. And this was a subjective list, because both our input was in there. And you concurred, and we've been pretty successful. Some people may disagree with us, but we have resolved all but one. We have resolved or made significant progress on all of the subdivisions on the list, with the exception of one. And we reached out again to the owners of the Cove, and we were advised, Mike might want to chime in here, we'll let you
talk. Well, we reached out on several occasions starting in October 2019 up through to present, and we've gotten various responses but no solid commitment.
And or any action.
Right, and no action on the site. We did meet with a contractor at one point early on, and that contractor apparently is no longer in contract with that development, and there was no progress.
So for the reason stated by Mike, is we don't take that recommendation lightly, because we don't come in 5+ years. This county engineer has never been before you. We resolve these issues, we move them forward in a collaborative manner, and try to satisfy the ultimate customer, our citizens. But in this particular case, we feel we're at our rope's end, and the only recourse we see is to ask you to allow us to initiate the calling of the security.
Okay. Any questions to council? Okay. Do you have a motion? Or?
We do have a motion. I didn't expect this go to without any questions, so let's see what else comes up. Be moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that Sussex County Council finds CASL LLC has failed to perform satisfactory construction of the project known as the Cove at Sandy Landing and authorizes the Sussex County Engineer to call in the bond held by CASL LLC in order to complete the improvements in accordance with the approved plans and Chapter 99, County Code Chapter 99 requirements.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions?
I'd just like to say this is a fail-safe that protects, you know, the residents. It's unfortunate. I don't think anybody likes to go this path, but a lot of people don't realize that this type of protection is actually in place and that the county does assist in this way. And so, you know, hopefully we can get this moving for the benefit of the residents there.
I mean, if you look through the introductory, the vast majority of the projects are moving smoothly through the process. We have now a number of projects which meet the new code. We're reviewing ongoing reviews of grading plans. There will be a lot of improvements, but we need to get through the legacy issues, and this is one of them. So this is the would be my response to Councilman Riley's comment.
More questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I guess motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mike, thank you. Hopefully we'll see you again, and before you get out of here, something Todd, we're going to bring you out of the world. Okay. Well, you have done been a pleasure working with you. You've done a great job in this county. We're very proud of what you've done, and thank you for what you've done. I certainly wish you good luck as you move on to the enjoying yourself even more during the daytime you do now.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate being employed with the county, and I can't thank county council, county administration, and especially Hans and the engineering department and all the former county engineer and administration. It's been excellent, and I can't thank the county enough.
Well, thank you again very much. Mr. Bedlars, you're still on, buddy.
Yes, two more items. Thank you, Mike. We will have to revisit, and you know from my last memo that we had to revisit the inland base, biosolids and septic projects. The good news is, obviously, if you read all the way to the end, the facility is running. We have had successful production, and we have winterized now the facility because the design plan from the get-go was a 9 months operation, 3 months break, 9 months operation. And you also see we have confirmation, just received it yesterday. Restart is scheduled for March, early March, with a final, what we call substantial completion acceptance by council in the month of April. This is sort of a legacy issue here we have to address the various things I would like for you to consider. First of all, when you read through this, it's very difficult to understand, especially for new council members. And when we go to the new council presentation a couple of weeks ago, you saw all the moving parts and in the maze. The big discussion item is the storage lagoon number 3, and which assumptions were made at what time and what underlied what design concept. So in order to fully understand the dynamics here, you have to know at one time in 2019, early 2019, we were still under the belief we may have to build that lagoon. So when you go back a few months earlier, we bid the project here under discussion in 18. It had a design assumption that that lagoon would be built. So a lot of these credits and changes you see in this memo really have to do with DNREC's coming around and saying, we are on board with the alternate outlets, that the lagoon number 3 will not have to be built. So some of the moving parts here are associated with just that issue. And they're no fault of anybody because we made that decision eyes wide open when we initially started in 18, where we were early 19, and where we are today in 21. As a matter of fact, I just confirmed it again yesterday with the highest DNREC officials, 100% support of the alternate outlets, so that is solid. And I certainly updated them on where we are in this process. And you see, when you go back further in the document, I underlined the various items which are part of this particular change order number 9, and I like to call it final because this county engineer will not appear again with another change order before you on this project. So that's a promise. Yes, you'll hold me to it. The underlying portion are, some of these are sort of follow-ups from previous actions. Some of them are very small, and some of them are cleanups from something you have known before, i.e. the time and material correction of the sludge piping. But let's start with, you have previously approved a weather curtain, which is nothing but a poly curtain if you've seen it out there. And in that last windstorm we had right before Christmas, it moved more than I felt comfortable with. And we were introducing some anchoring points and introducing some grommets so we can tie it together better in advance of a wind event. And then that way we can avoid them from getting all entangled and blowing all over the place. So that is a minor adder, but it's an improvement to the system we have. And normally they're used in freezer applications like the US Cold Storage in Milford has them. I've been in that facility a couple of times. And it's not really windy in there, so they work quite well. But in our application, we needed some additional restraining. The next item you see underlined is this is an update from the last one when I advised you that we topped out and we could not move the sludge cake and we had to take corrective action. And that corrective action, you saw a number of pictures where we are today and where we started out. Initially, we could not move the cake, and only the modification to the piping, which we did on an expedited basis on the time and material, was completed, and the pictures prove the point. We are now within the operational range, which can be tolerated, but it's at the upper end, and that will bring me to my third point. But let's stay for a second on the piping. It's a $150,000 number, but there's some significant betterments. The original system, and let's just say, the original system did not contemplate how to winterize this particular facility. So we the county engineering department, designed into this T&M work some betterments which allowed us to flush, drain, and connect the system all in stainless. As a matter of fact, if you go to the one picture, it's sort of interesting, it actually shows up. That one picture which shows the overhead piping, when you look at that first fitting, that Y fitting, that has one of the flushing connections on it. That sort of gives you a picture of what that means. So we reviewed all the documentation associated with it. We have timesheets, we have the rates. So the number is what the number is. I mean, that's the cost we incurred for that whole thing, plus the betterments which we conducted. Third, is the, you see the, if you look at the picture which shows all the gauge readings, we are at the pump, we're at 200. We want to be in the mid-100s because the entire system is laid out by design and by specification, and you know what happens if you put too much pressure on pipe for too long. It's a 150-pound piping system, which can take, by design, a 2x safety factor. So it will not blow apart at 300, but it should be running consistently below or around 150. So what steps can we take to get there? So there was a good bit of research between the contractor and the engineering department. I say it was a very good collaborative effort. We looked at the number of different lubrication systems and settled on that one which matches our sludge cake pumps. That is a Moyno pump. And in the end, the Moyno lubrication system, the three different ones available, was actually the most cost effective, and that's the one we're recommending to buy. We would install three rings. We would install three rings. And one pump which then would be activated depending one lubrication pump, which then be activated depending on which of these sludge cake pumps is running. So, should I make two promises in one meeting, Tom? Okay, I will, the county engineer, in his professional opinion, will state that we will be well below 200 running. And I would feel more comfortable if we had it. That is a clear betterment. We didn't have it before. It's a very cost-effective way to put it in it. We reviewed all the costs which were given, which were quoted by the different vendors, and that price tag is $65,000. The last one is a joint approach to a drainage problem on the floor in the cake pump station. So when you look at the original design, it's a fairly large footprint. It's a large footprint for a pump station. There is one sump in one corner. So it is relatively difficult to get all the flow to flow into that one hole. So once we've been running, as you can imagine, there are seals on these pumps, seal strip by design. And I noticed there were a number of three standing water puddles. And I said, that's not acceptable. Well, obviously, we cannot jackhammer out the whole floor to make it better drainage. So I said, look, guys, let's just split this up based on area. We get an epoxy floor. It can be sloped much better and controlled. We pay the percentage which doesn't have problems. You pay for the percentages which have problems. So when you look at the breakdown, it breaks down to about 2-1. And so this is that we're paying for the betterment, and the contractor picks up the cost for the correction. So when you add these four action items together, underlying action items, that comprises the final change order number 9. And before we move into the motion request we have is, there's two big white elephants in the room. One white elephant one, and it's between the contractor and us. You see we're way beyond the contractor. So the contractor has filed a significant compensatory change order request. Ms. Jennings and I have put them on notice that we have incurred expenses. And so we are at the point, I think we believe we are ready to settle this, but they have to come to us. So I indicated to them, we want to hear from you what you're putting on the table. We should receive this, if not this week, next week. And that will then trigger another meeting here where we will present it to you for your acceptance, because I believe that should be accepted by council. The other one is we raised a number of engineering design issues with our consultants, which I communicated to them in writing, and we're expecting a final answer from them in the not so distant future as well. So that concludes a fairly complex, very complex issue.
You have a motion?
I do have a motion, yes, I almost forgot about it, right? Thank you, Mr. President, for reminding me. Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 9 for contract 18-19 Inland Bay's regional wastewater facility, regional biosols and septic facilities be approved, which increases the contract amount by $241,636.40 for a new contract total of $14,312,250.79.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion?
Since Sam's not here, just in case Sam's listening in on the web or something, we're going to stipulate that this is paid for by the sewer district and not by the general fund and the taxpayers.
It is correct. The project is funded by two forms. It's a county debt, and the majority of it would be previously collected sewer connection charges. So it's a dual funding.
Thank you for reminding us of that. Which has been that way for 37 years.
37 years. And I've never been to a meeting yet where that question wasn't asked.
By one person.
By one person.
Thank you. Any more questions? We'll take a look. Mrs. Green?
I vote yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'm the other. She carried. Next, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next one is a timely step to bring before you the Dewey Beach Water Agreement with the City of Rehoboth Beach. Ms. Jennings and I worked with the city team for, golly day, 6 months. It seemed like a long time. There were a couple of gaps in there, but we went back and forth with a number of reviews. What it really boils down to when you read through this is we are a certain percentage based on past flows of these city expenses. And the city has a 5-year look ahead of what they're planning to do, what their staff would be looking like, what the eligible costs are, what the depreciation is, and that's the funded depreciation, and what the improvements are, the 5-year capital improvements are. So once we sorted out through the, and that's a long list of eligible and ineligible items, and we're talking a couple hundred. And so we have reached agreement between the county team and the city team which ones would be eligible and which ones would be partially eligible and what the percentages are for the partially eligible ones. It is a blended rate, which means their cost will fluctuate over the 5-year period. Our rate will be fixed from day one, starting a few days ago, through the end of 25. At what point they would have to represent to us a new 5-year capital plan, which will be significantly smaller than the one we've seen. There's a good bit of capital catch-up. There's 2 full well rehabilitations, 1 water treatment plant rehab, and there's another well development. And there's a number of capital projects on the city water side in there. For example, just as to give you an example, a clear we do not participate in, they have hundreds of thousands of dollars of meter expense. And that's not meter reading or meter billing expense, that's meter replacement expense. Not an eligible cost, not included in that rate. So I want to say that for the public listening, so these are only costs which are eligible. And the clear costs which are eligible would be, for example, a capital improvement on a well field. We drink the same water coming out of the well field as the citizens in Rehoboth, so that's a percentage-based participation that goes into the rate. So 5 years from now, we will look at the history of the next 5 years in terms of flows and balance it out with the future proposed capital project. Now, the one thing I did ask the city to do, and we have the right to do so, every year we can look at the books and see which projects got completed, because an effect would be if a capital project which is funded by our rate happens to be delayed, that would be a sort of, let's call it, quote-unquote credit, which needs to move through and needs to be recognized 4 years from now. So having said this, we have an established rate. We have a rate we believe is fair and equitable for 5 years, and we have a motion, and we have an amendment to reflect that rate.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering and Finance Departments, that the Sussex County Council approve amendment number 1 to the Dewey Beach Water Agreement between Sussex County and the City of Rehoboth Beach as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll be on the security. Thank you, sir, very much.
And last comment, Ms. Jennings will be phasing our cost in over 5 years, and then it ramps up and ramps back down.
Thank you. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have one ordinance to introduce, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to amend conditional use number 1314, that's ordinance number 1354, as amended by conditional use number 1691. ordinance number 1865 and conditional use number 1962. That's ordinance number 2311 to permit the processing and handling of poultry litter to include nutrient recovery for natural gas and electrical generation to be located on certain parcel of land lying in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 228.88 acres, more or less, and it's in Mr. Benson's district.
I'll introduce it.
Okay, that is all.
Thank you, sir. Councilmember comments? Councilmember comments? Anybody? Anybody? And books to adjourn.
Salute.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions? Take a vote, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I would, yes. Motion carried. We're now adjourned. Thank you, everybody.